You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 282. And oh, listeners, what a weekend it was. We hope you enjoyed the Land Rover Kentucky three-day event presented by Mars Equestrian as much as we did. I feel refreshed. Now, there is a big five start, but I'm not going to lie, I feel completely and utterly exhausted. So I dread to think, although I am assured they are prepped and raring to go, we are delighted to have a team talk show for you. Jenny Autry and Eric Duvander are with us. We are recording this immediately after Kentucky. It is the Tuesday. You guys have been on the ground for the last week or so building up to Kentucky. Eric, what is, I guess, first of all, actually, I should say thank you very much for coming on, because we appreciate, as I say, I'm exhausted. But it's been busy. It's been really busy.
Yeah, no, it's been quite busy, but we're delighted to be on your show.
Oh, it's good to have you. First of all, let's start with an initial reaction. We're, as I say, we're the Tuesday after Kentucky. I say it through gritted teeth, the wait for a US winner goes on a little bit longer. But what is the feeling like? You've had, you know, 24, 48 hours to digest it. What is your feeling now, having had time to think about the last week?
Well, it's Monday, or Sunday evening, and then all the way until basically early this morning, I've been reviewing a lot of videos and looking into all the individual performances in all three faces. So, so that it continued for a little bit longer after the events as well for me, because these events, they are obviously competitions that we want to perform on, but it's also an opportunity for us to see where the holes are and what we need to work harder on, and then we're going to have a review with the riders and sit down with them and get a little bit more focused work on the details that we need to get better at.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a few of those highlights a little bit later on in the show, because there are plenty of good bits, and it's always good to have a few things that you know you can improve. You don't want to peak too soon, Eric. Few months time, there's a certain big event in Japan, and that's the one that everything needs to come together for, that you're really aiming for. Jenny, how about the logistics of the event from your side? Because obviously the build up to Kentucky has been different to usual years. It's an Olympic year, which always adds extra pressure. We add COVID and everything else as well to the mix. So how was it logistically from your perspective?
It's certainly one of our biggest orchestrations of the entire season, because we have all of our selectors there, all of our team staff there, and then we have special events for owners, as well as the grooms and the athletes as well. So it's certainly a full team effort, and my team of Christina Vaughn, Gemma Stobbs, Allison Lloyd, and Lauren Moore were absolutely fantastic rock stars all week long to keep things moving along smoothly. So I think, you know, anytime we have the ability to get our owners together and be able to do special things for them, that's always something that means a lot, especially coming out of a COVID year. So the fact that we were able to do that was definitely a highlight for me. But the logistics, it's just a massive team effort, and we make it happen.
Yeah, it's a huge number of people that pull together, and everybody, you know, does their part of the puzzle so exceptionally well. What was it like, Jenny, without spectators this year? Did it feel very, very different to Kentucky's past?
It was, as much as we missed seeing everyone and so many of our friends, it was kind of nice not having so many people there. I won't lie. It was much easier to get around than it typically would be. But of course, we are all already counting down to 2022, and we can welcome the eventing community back to the event.
Yeah. Did it add a different sort of level of atmosphere for the horses, Eric? Because obviously, the crowds and stuff are great for building the atmosphere, and you kind of think you take them away and actually it runs the risk of it being a bit quieter and those hot horses might be a little bit more relaxed. But actually, it isn't always the case, is it? They almost notice more. There's a little bit of something different in the air.
Well, I never for a moment felt that the atmosphere wasn't there for the riders. And the tension, because it's a big event as well. And it is like It is such an important event, and the pressure's on the riders, crowds or no crowds, and that sort of feeds into the horses as well. So I think as athletes and as horses and for people like me in my role, I think it was as an intense event as any time. However, you also have some horses that really like and enjoy the crowds and so on. So we did miss it. There's no doubt about it that we missed the crowds, but the intensity of the event, it never felt comfortable at any time, which it never does on these big five stars. It is intense all the time.
Yeah, I think it would all be a bit nervous if it felt relaxed, too relaxed, wouldn't it? It would be something's not quite right. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about the dressage, because actually that is a big highlight in the first phase. And a 1-2 on the after the first phase with Marilyn Little RF Scandalous and Tammy Smith My Balm, who, I'm not going to lie, listeners, I have a massive horse crush on. I'll apologize in advance for my fangirling in the future. A 1-2 after the first phase, Eric, actually, you know, there were some very, very good performances from Boyd and Setzeleg, and Buck and Carlevo were well placed as well. There was a huge amount to take from that. And actually they were very, very impressive scores in the low 20s that would mix it anywhere in the world.
Well, I think, first of all, I couldn't agree more. You have two quality horses like Maibaum and Scandalous. I mean, they're just beautiful horses, and we all really enjoy watching them. And when you come to three-day eventing, it's very rare you have that type of quality horse that can produce dressage like that. So that was a real pleasure to watch them. But just going down the line of our riders, I mean, it's been a massive effort getting everything more in place and getting the dressage better for sure. Our riders have worked super hard. They worked hard on all the phases, but they worked very hard on the dressage, and it is pleasing. However, I still don't think any of the riders, I think there's definitely more in all of those horses that we have on our list, and no one did performed as well as they actually can do. So I think we got a little bit more work to put in the finishing touches on how to get that performance in the ring as well. But it's definitely heading the right way.
Do you think there's things already, Eric, that you saw from Kentucky that you think, actually, yeah, do you know what, we can work on that, and I know that that will have, you know, helped them improve for next time?
Well, it is, like I said, like, I mean, you never really know until you put the horses in that environment and what the holes are or what we need to work on. And then it's super individual on each horse. It's not like we're saying, like, we haven't done enough test riding, we haven't done this or that. It is individually how we get the horses really right and then send them into the rings so they can perform at their very best in pressure and in an atmosphere. And so there's going to be the conversations. It's a little bit my observations, but it's also how the riders feel, the horses are reacting. Because in the end of the day, the riders have to ride the horses as they are on the day. So those horses that had a little bit nerves, I mean, our riders are super experienced and good at covering that. So the horses still might look a little more relaxed. I mean, I'm just talking like a horse, like, see, it has a little bit of nerves, but Philip Dutton did a super job of covering that up. And I think that is the skill of what's happening on the dressage day that others, just if you're sitting in the crowd, you might not really know.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. What about going into the cross country, Eric? What was your initial thoughts when you saw Derek de Grazia's cross country track? He's a master of designing. And everybody that reported out of Kentucky that certainly we spoke to on the eventing podcast was that it was really big, it was really technical, it was going to cause problems. Was that your initial first impression of it as well?
Yep. Dead right. It was, we came 1/3 into the course, and I sort of said to, because I walked the course first with Philip Dutton in the very early stages, and I said, like, it feels like Derek has used all the A, B, C's and D's here, and we're only 1/3 around the track. It just felt like it was going to be a proper big job. But obviously, the more we walk the courses, the better we get at sort of analyzing it and coming up with a game plan. And I think, Derek is genius as well, how he designs the course. And for sure, he tweaked it up one more level this year. And my view is that it's still eventing should be mainly about the cross country. So I believe he's pulling the sport in the right direction. And he did a stunning job. I'm It's a good test, and I wanted it to be a good test as well, because in our preparation for the Olympics, for sure it's going to be one notch lower or smaller or whatever you want to call it at the Olympics, and definitely shorter. It's still we'll show any weaknesses we have and what we need to work on. So a massive challenge for the horses and riders, and the ones who stepped up and did a good job. I'm so proud of them.
I guess from that perspective as well, you know, Derek is the Olympic course designer, and so riding his track at a big event like Kentucky, Eric, is kind of a key preparation, isn't it? Because it's those riders getting out, getting down, getting dirty over the course that, you know, they learn his style a bit as well. They learn how he likes to build and design, and they get a feel for it.
I think there's a little bit different philosophies around that. There is some philosophies that you want to save your horses and just keep them ticking over and working all the technical aspects of the performance. I still think, like, having been to many championships, it is, I think, being match ready, riding a course like this will give the riders who had good rounds confidence that whatever Derek builds in Tokyo, that they can do it. So they will go with a different approach. If you go a little bit with a handbrake on and have just done enough to get there, then you really don't know if your horse is really firing on all cylinders and so on. So my belief is we're going down this way. And for this group, especially after not having had that many four stars over the last, 18 months, I think it was necessary. And I think the riders will feel well prepared. And I must say, in the end of the competition, all the horses are obviously tired because it's been a big event and there's been big preparation, but they pulled up nicely and they all traveled home in one piece, looking pretty good.
Yeah, which is exactly what you want to see, and the sign of a really successful event, really. Jenny, the weather did all manner of bizarre things. I'm not going to lie. When I saw the photos of snow, I thought somebody had sort of had some sort of strange joke and upset the big man upstairs for a while. How did the ground hold up and ride? Obviously, the rain started to fall pretty heavily throughout the day. How was it actually when you were out there on the ground?
Right. It hadn't snowed at during Kentucky Week since 2002 or 2003. So that was definitely quite a way to start things off. But the ground was a bit firm actually early in the week, so that really only made it even better. And the ground held up very, very well, even after all that rain coming later in the day. So they did end up swapping that schedule so the five-star could go first. And they certainly had the best of the ground. But even walking around at the very end of the day, after the four-star had gone, it still held up incredibly well. So that's the bit of the magic of the bluegrass, how that ground takes the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Eric, who were the standout rounds for you, Derek de Grazia's track and the cross country? Who did you most, I was going to say enjoy, but I don't know whether you do enjoy it or whether you sort of grit your teeth and watch on until they come home safely.
Yeah, no, it's not particularly enjoyable. This is very exciting, but it's not enjoyable. And even when I reflect on it back as well, it is... I do have a tendency to ride every stride with each rider and jump every jump. So I took a few tumbles and I galloped around the course many times on Saturday. But standouts, I mean, I was very proud of it. Like, let me see, like, obviously, Philip Dutton on Z goes well. And I thought Elizabeth Halliday did a super job with her De Niro Z horse as well. It was the first time I think she really got everything properly together. I mean, we had a lot of good rounds. I was very proud of a few younger horses that came up as well, like FE Lifestyle with Jenny Brannigan. And that horse has done very little and was faced with a big track and did very well. And the other one was QC Diamantaire with Sydney Elliott. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag there. It's a little bit the same thing there. I think no one really absolutely nailed it by getting the time and so on, but a few of them were very, very near doing that. So there's still a little more room. I think we can do slightly better than we did. And I'm saying that not with being unhappy, because I think, once again, it was a bigger track than we expected. And I think people came there, and if you look at previous years' results and so on, without doubt, you can't really put the scores side by side, because this was more demanding than before. So In general, our riders are riding well cross country, and the horses are good horses. They still make it look easy, and they still can do cover for little mistakes and so on. So I'm happy with the way the horses are traveling around at the moment in the cross country.
And there was the odd bit of heartbreak. I think we spoke on the Eventing podcast. Spike the vet, I think, made his baby cry when Boyd fell from Set's a leg. The reports are that they're all okay, and just, you know, desperately close, but not, unfortunately, their day. And we'll see them back hopefully very soon.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit the margin I'm talking about. It's sort of like, there's a lot of performances that could have been just spot on. And one of those was without doubt Boyd's. I don't think Sesterleg has ever looked as good as he did coming into this event in all three phases. And Boyd was so on fire this week as well. I mean, just the way he rode his on cue horse, it was a bit of a dark horse. And that horse really just got its form together. I mean, I've known the horse for a while, and it finally, in the last 4 weeks before the event, just started shining, and that's from all the hard work that's been going on over the years. So but anyway, back to Sesterleg, like, yeah, that was a heartbreaker. I mean, that horse is was ready to win, and it was made the course look great. And you get that little bit of confidence when a horse is making a mistake-free round, and obviously Boyd was hunting to the end to get the time, because he went there to win, and when you do that, you take risks, and the horse just was jumped a little low with his right fore, and then they tumbled. So yeah, heartbreaker. But we know that that is a world class combination. So not worried about that one for the Olympic Games.
Good. That is what we like to hear. In terms of the overall result, there are bits to work on, obviously, moving forwards, and we've spoken about that. Having European combinations come over, I mean, it's something, you know, we've talked about it before many a time, but I guess the first thing to say is that they're not going to spend tens of thousands of pounds to put their horse on a plane and travel across the Atlantic unless they feel that they can be very, very competitive. I mean, Ballymore Class, the horse that eventually won, has had six top five finishes at five star from his six runs, two victories in there as well now. The prices are obviously world-class combinations. From your perspective, obviously you want to, and I know you've spoken about this before, measure yourselves up against the best in the world. Do you think this weekend has actually given you that extra, if you needed any extra, I'm sure you didn't, but fire in the belly in terms of being able to kind of see how everybody compares and actually now kick on and really make those tweaks to peak in a few months' time?
I think, the question is, like, I mean, if you win a big class like this, you don't go home and think, well, I got it, because, the next week, everyone else who managed to beat this weekend, they're going to be working, doing everything to up their game as well. So there's never a day's rest in trying to progress with the riders and horses. So I don't think it's sort of like needed as a spurring on for the riders. I think more the thought would be, we can do it, we're close enough, and we get all the detail in place. So I think it's more about, we got smashed, but on the other hand, we also have the hope. And I think hope is a little bit better to work with, and just say, if we keep on the way we're doing, it will come our way. When, we don't know, but hopefully it will be coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of top competitors talk about you have to keep putting yourselves in those positions to be as competitive as possible. And ultimately, it's all very well, you know, you've got to put yourselves up against the best in the world to be the best in the world. What will you most take, Eric, moving forwards? It's obviously going to be a really intense few months. It's been an intense week. You're part of your sort of big review process. What is it that you're really taking from Kentucky, if you can share that with us?
The one thing, it is a reminder when you come to these, it is such a competitive sport, and the quality of riding nowadays is unreal. I mean, I spoke to Ollie Townend, because I said, like, what a magnificent ride he had on his winning horse, and he just said, Eric, you have no idea, I was so exhausted afterwards, because I had to pull everything I had in me to get around and getting it that close on time. And it is like, once again, like, as a spectator and so on, he makes it look effortless. And the same thing with Boyd when he's riding around with the Sesterlag, they make it look effortless, but it's very, very difficult, and then pulling it together. So, I mean, it is just constantly a reminder of how our sport is challenging in so many ways. And when you win a big class like this or do well in it, you have to be very pleased with yourself. And I think the spirit in the American team is still, like, if you've got a little bit slapped here this weekend, we're still going to just keep fighting on. And I think we can put together a strong team for the Olympic Games and hopefully iron out a few of those little details.
Yeah. And what happens next in terms of the Olympic Games, Jenny? Because there's still, am I right in saying, one more selection trial to come at Jersey Fresh?
Yes. So next week we head to Allentown, New Jersey for Jersey Fresh. That's our final selection trial. Following that, there will be formal vet evaluations. And then we expect to name the team no later than the 1st of June.
You're naming your team, Eric, fairly early, I guess. I mean, I'm only going on from what I've heard on the grapevine that the British team and some of those teams are going to be a little bit later. What's the logic behind that? Is it all about making sure that everybody knows what their preparation can be to give them the best chance of peaking at the right time?
Yeah, I think that's spot on what it is. I do know that there you can get a little bit more of a, then you can allow yourself and allow the riders to put together the best possible, or with me as well, with the best possible program in preparation instead of having to fight to the very end and then switch up one more notch and get ready for the championship. So I've always been a believer in that, and other nations prove me wrong and so on. But I still believe that if you give the riders enough time to focus on getting the horses ready rather than keep fighting to the very end for their positions, that's the system I believe in, and I hope it will pay off for us.
And when you name the squad, will you be naming, because obviously we are a team of three in Tokyo, will you name the team of three along with the travelling reserve and they will be named, or will it be a squad of four as such, and then those details will be decided or made public later?
So the team of three would be named along with that travelling reserve, as well as up to the maximum number of alternates as well. So okay. That would be the full list coming out.
Okay. It's very exciting. I am certainly going to be refreshing my internet browser on the 1st of June. What about training, Eric? Obviously, you know, vet evaluations, a lot of these horses will have had a really, really good build up to Kentucky, are going to have, I imagine, a well-deserved holiday. When will you sort of start to pick up the reins again and say, right, team training is going to become a bit more intense and things will start to really ramp up for Tokyo?
Well, we actually got Jersey Fresh here as well, which is in 2 weeks' time, which is our final selection event. So we got to get through that first.
Yep.
And then the horses went to Kentucky. I mean, the horses can easily have 3 to 4 weeks easy here now and just refresh up a little bit as well. And then before they get going, because that gives us plenty of time to get them back up and running and ready for the Olympics. We will obviously, the US is a big country, so we're going to have to work around whatever the list is. And then my efforts traveling around, and Peter Wild is the show jumping trainer traveling around. And so we don't move the horses around too much, but then ahead of Great Meadow, which is the 6th, 7th of July, which is our final trial, we'll have the riders together for a couple of days and then run that event. And then we're heading into the PEQ, which is another week where we're all together, or just over a week when we're all together, and there'll be focused training on that. But yes, it's going to give the horses a nice little break, and then make sure that they are healthy and well, and they're having the evaluation here and shortly, and then we're just roll with a program and look at each horse individually and see what they need and try to perfect what we're doing.
Jenny, Eric, thank you both so much for coming on the show and giving us a real insight into the weekend in Kentucky. Lots of positives to take, lots to look forward to over the next few months. And we really appreciate your time and being so candid and sharing it with the listeners.
Thank you.
Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed a very, very special insight into the US team at Kentucky over the last week or so. We hope you've enjoyed all of the coverage, and we will be back on the USCA official podcast very soon. Stay with us, hit the subscribe button if you don't already, and a big thank you to both Jenny and Eric, and of course you guys for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.